Got game. Got game. On the Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet590.ca.
This is Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We're back from E3 with so much to talk about, including taking an in-depth look at NHL 15. Plus, Matt Levitan of Sony PlayStation Canada joins us to talk about Sony's E3 offerings. Plus, can you imagine getting an NCAA scholarship for playing video games? Well, it's now a reality at one U.S. school.
Have you got game? The Lowdown.
This is Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network, back at home base in Toronto. I am Omen Qureshi, Brian Calhoun with me. Christine Chubb, not here because she took an extra week to vacation. She's in fancy Santa Monica as we tape this on Thursday night.
Not only is she in Santa Monica, but she also brought Corinne Van Dusen from 680 News.
Yeah, with her.
Which was a big shock to me. I mean, she didn't share her vacation plans with me, and why would she? We are co-workers, yeah. So I mean, I don't need to know these details, but it was kind of weird. We're sitting there taping Got Game in the hotel room in Los Angeles last week, and here just walks in this person who I've seen in the hallways of this building for like the last couple of years.
At that point, did you think like the entire 680 fan staff was going to just start showing up one by one?
At that point, I was wondering exactly what constituted an HR violation.
Yeah, everybody just started showing up one by one. Anyway, we are back. You can follow along on Twitter at GotGame590, on Instagram at Game590. Check iTunes, check Sportsnet590.ca, check the TuneIn app. All our E3 stuff is up there, and there's so much of it. We did so much stuff. We're going to give you some coverage right now. We know the thing that our listeners want the most is to talk about the new NHL game.
It's the biggest game for our listeners every year.
Without question. So we went and talked to the big man, literally, as he is about like 7 foot tall, and figuratively, as in he is the lead producer and the man behind the NHL games. So here he is, Sean Ramjag, talking about NHL 15.
The game is huge, especially for our market in Toronto and Canada. It's the one game I think everybody kind of circles on their calendar and is ready for it. What is different between the previous generations and what we're looking at here this year?
Yeah, I guess since we announced that we're coming out with a new generation of consoles, finally our fans have been asking for that. Why weren't there last year? All that stuff. The answer I always give to people is, you know, we can literally do more because of the power of the consoles. We can run more code under the hood. We can do more math. We can have more physics in the game, have high resolution textures, just do more stuff. And what that means for us with 15 is, you know, we rebuilt our player model from the ground up, a new layered player model with cloth on them, brand new physics in the game, brand new puck physics built from the ground up as well. 12-player physics in the game for the first time for us. We've had 2 players. It's been received really well, going to the 12 players. Our fans have been asking for a new presentation package. We have NBC Sports Network in the game this year. What you see on TV is what you can see in our game. Commentators are also a bone of contention for some of our fans as well. Every year we put a screenshot out and really excited to get the fan feedback. And the first comments are, can you please change the commentators? So we're changing the commentators, Doc Emmerich, Eddie Olchuk. And the last part, again, leveraging the power of those consoles is just bringing those arenas to life. Modeling each one of the arenas that we have licensed to pretty much every single detail. 18 to 21,000 people in the fans, up to 9,000 unique crowd models in each arena. Super fans, home team, super fan away team. If you're playing at home in Vancouver and the Montreal Canadiens come to town, we could have half the crowd be the Montreal Canadiens. So that kind of flexibility, really changing everything with gameplay and presentation.
You were very specific about what you said in that last sentence about modeling all the arenas we have licensed. Do you have all the licenses for everything in the NHL, players, arenas, everything?
Good question. So all the players as part of the NHL, NHLP PA license, we get all the players and all the teams and logos and things like that. When it comes to other stuff like the arenas, we need to go out and strike a deal with each one of those arenas individually. So we still have, you know, about a month left. There's still a couple licenses we're pursuing, but we have, you know, last time I checked, I think we're up to about 26 already licensed. And our, you know, our visuals team are pretty pumped up because we can now model Madison Square Gardens, which has such unique geometry with people actually being able to walk around the boards and things like that. That all adds to just, you know, the authenticity within each arena and bring that arena to life.
I have to ask you, this is a question I asked you last year and it has to be asked again. Is there going to be Tim Hortons in every arena since you talked about ads just now?
Good question. We're still working through the ad sales deals as well. Tim Hortons has been a great partner for us in the past and we're getting pretty close with them too.
Are you confident you can get all 30 arenas before launch day?
To be honest, can't commit to it. You really just don't know. You talk to somebody who understands your space, understands video games, understands the value that we bring, and you know, sometimes you get people who just don't get it or don't want to be associated with it or have other reasons. Maybe arenas are changing, are going to change their sponsor, their title sponsor. They can't divulge that information. So sometimes there's other reasons that we actually don't get insight to that stops it from happening. So we hope to get up to 30, but we'll see.
you talked about the commentators. That was a real bone of contention for you guys. You had the same commentators for several years. It drives people crazy sometimes. You decided to make the switch this year, and you got some great ones on board. But why did you guys feel that this it was the time was now? Because I don't think people understand, and maybe you can talk a bit about this too, is how much effort goes into recording those commentators.
Yeah, a lot of effort. A lot of effort. So we knew with the new consoles coming, we really wanted to come big. Gameplay is always the core of our experience, and we sacrifice presentation, whether it be with the commentators or the visuals or the presentation package in the past years. And we know that our fan expectations on these consoles are going to be huge. And so that's when we started 2 years ago, saying we need to change the commentators for year one on the next generation. So we reached out to Doc and Eddie, and they were all on board. They loved it. They were fantastic to work with. The amount of effort, though, that goes into that, we had to start recording with them in probably last July. Just those guys are so busy. Getting their time during the season is really tough. To give you an example of the amount of content we had to capture this year, we got over 35,000 lines of speech with those guys. So we did about 9 or 10 sessions each in the summertime, and then some other ones throughout the season. Because our features start to come together, we're like, okay, this is the new digging system. We need to get commentating specific to that, or the puck physics. It's a lot of work. And then once you have that content, 35,000 lines of speech, you got to start to master it, edit it, and then drop it in and create the triggers for all that stuff to happen. It's a massive operation, probably 6, 7, 8 people for the entire year just to get that stuff working in.
With the new consoles, with the ability to do so much more, would you say that people who played last year's game on the old consoles and who are going to now play this year's games on new consoles, will they feel at home, or is it so different because you can now do more?
I think they'll still feel at home, so still the same control scheme for the most part. We've added more deking, more moves that you can do, upper and lower body separation. So you basically have more fidelity, but still familiar controls for you. The visuals look fantastic. Our puck physics has really changed the game a lot. When you guys get hands-on with it, you'll see every single bounce in the game is now different. And some of the complaints that we've had from the past was that you get fully immersed in the NHL 14 experience and the puck would do something that just kind of takes you out of that reality and reminds you you're playing a video game. So our puck physics, rebuilt from the ground up. We have a guy that worked on the Hadron Collider in Geneva, Switzerland, come over, work on our puck physics. In 10 months, he had puck physics up and running. The puck is now going places the puck has never gone before. It's squeaking through goalies, squeaking under their arm. We talked about the layered player model at the start here. We actually have the body, the equipment, and then the jersey on top, so cloth technology in the game. So now the puck will hit the jersey, hit the equipment underneath that, and depending on how fast the puck is going, the angle the puck is going at, what piece of equipment it hits, and what the curve is on the equipment, it'll bounce differently. So the puck's going places it hasn't gone before. Our goalies are now making saves that have been in the game for years, but have never triggered because the puck hasn't got there. So it's really been a big, big game changer for us.
You've been working on the game for a long, long time, and you see this game evolve so much. Yeah. Are you still at the point where you're surprised by how many changes can be made and how much you can do? Because I think every year, as a fan, you see the game come out, you're like, okay, this is it. They've maxed out. We have reached the limit. And then now with these, the PS4 and the Xbox One, we're going beyond that. Are you still surprised by how much you guys can push it?
Absolutely, 100%. This year, we know we want to do so much stuff with the game, and learning how to develop on the new consoles, a lot of stuff didn't come together till later on. You start seeing all those pieces come together, and 2 weeks before E3, when you first saw the first shots, of not even the whole trailer, the first couple shots of the trailer, went up there and literally got chills. It was just seeing all these years of work come together, finally on the new consoles, and leveraging the power and the visuals of what we can do. I had to grab our guys that are working on the visuals, bring them up there right away. I said, you guys are in this stuff every single day, but you need to see this and how other people are representing your work. It's just unbelievable. Even at the E3 press conference this year, seeing the video up there, seeing it play right here in front of us, still get chills of the work that the team's doing back home.
We were looking for you before we started this interview. Someone was starting up a game, and NBC's commentators come up, and Moman's down there digging through his bag, trying to organize stuff. I'm sitting there looking over someone's shoulder going, Moman, you got to come see this. You got to come see how good it is. Very impressive. I have to say, very impressive. But I want to know, are you anywhere near where you want to be? I mean, if the sky is the limit, do you feel like you've reached your limit, or do you still have other places, other things you want to do that maybe even these consoles can't do?
We will never hit our limit. Never hit our limit. I mean, every single year we have ideas. Some ideas we can get in 1 year. Some ideas take 2, 3, 4 years to come to fruition. The thing is, fans never see the stuff that hits the cutting room floor when we design our game. And obviously, we know that we're going to put a game out pretty much every September. We have a finite amount of time We have a finite amount of resources, so we have to make some tough decisions early on. So, you know, every single year, there's always more stuff. We try and get as much stuff in there. And even now, my guys will be like, you know, I want to get this one more little thing in there, one more little detail. Like, well, we got to start to close things down to get it on the shelves so we park it for next year. So there's no shortage of ideas. The sky really is the limit. And we just, you know, we like to leverage what Madden's doing, what FIFA's doing, what other sports games are doing, what other non-sports games are doing, understand how they're raising that bar and bring it over to hockey just to create the best experience possible. So keep going.
Well, you said the fans never get a chance to see what hits the cutting room floor. You have their attention right now. Do you want to tell them some things that may not have made it into NHL games that you guys were trying but just never came together?
Yeah, when we sit down next year at E3 and we talk about NHL 16, you'll get to hear about that stuff that hit the cutting room floor this year.
So are you saying some stuff hasn't hit the floor yet?
No, we make a lot of cuts early on. You know, for us, our job as producers is to understand the feature we want to put in the game, understand the cost of it, understand how long it's going to take, and the opportunity cost as well. So if we're working on this feature, what are we not doing? What is the actual benefit to the end consumer? How much are they really going to enjoy it? Is this something we're better working on, spending half the people working on over a two-year cycle, just to really maximize the ROI and everything that we do? Because we just really need to be efficient with our time. Every day we're not being efficient is time and effort wasted.
Cover vote. We're down to PK versus Patrice Bergeron head-to-head. I know you try to remain impartial. Do you have any sort of gut feeling or emotional ties, any sense as to where this is going to go?
It's very interesting this year. So first of all, great rivalry between the Bruins and the Habs. And PK is just such an outspoken character with a great social media following and has been fantastic supporting the cover vote. So it's almost like PK and the Habs as well versus what the Bruins are doing. The Bruins have taken this cover vote to a whole new level. They got their mascot going around with hashtag NHL15 Bergeron. Creating videos, creating so much content. So we'll see. It's tough to tell. I don't know yet. June 24th, though, in Vegas.
If ever you were going to see a vote where there was going to be crazy votes to the end, I think there's so much incentive now because there's so much hate between Boston and Montreal, the franchises, that fans now are like adamant to get their guy in. And I think it's less because Bruins fans want to see Bergeron or Canadiens fans want to see PK. It's just they don't want to see the other guy on the cover.
Absolutely. It's interesting because in years past, we've seen other teams actually throw their votes behind, you know, another team from or a player from another team. This year, I don't know what it says about the Montreal Canadiens and the Boston Bruins. I guess either you love them or you hate them, but I don't see any other teams kind of throwing their backing behind those guys. So we'll see what happens.
All right, Sean, so it's NHL 15. When's it coming out?
September 9th on the Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and also PS3 and Xbox 360.
That's Sean Ramjaek Singh, the producer of NHL 15. We will have plenty more NHL talk in the weeks and months to come, including the cover vote winner and all that good stuff in the weeks and months to come. So stay with us. We have a lot more E3 talk coming up later in the show. We're going to have Matt Levitan from Sony, and we're going to talk about some other news that happened non-E3 related coming up next on Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Have you got game? In the game.
This is Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Back for segment two, I'm Momin Qureshi. Brian Calhoun with me as well. Christine Chubb not here, still gallivanting in Los Angeles, Santa Monica, having a good time, enjoying some wind down time after the E3 that was this time around.
Do you know what I did this time after E3?
What'd you do?
I came home and I helped my parents build a deck.
How resourceful of you.
They wanted a deck in their backyard.
You missed Disney Day, which makes me sad that you weren't there.
I got deck building day.
Well, I have to say, the day after E3 ended, the next morning, myself, Christine, Steve Tilley from The Sun, Peter Nowak from The Globe, a whole bunch of us went
AJ
to...
AJ Fry from Space.
A whole bunch of us went to Disneyland for the day and spent the day together.
Did you guys go on the Chevy test track?
No.
Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong theme park.
You are probably thinking of the wrong theme park, because that sounds like something that would be at Universal Studios versus...
No, this was a Disney thing. On the TTC, there are posters all over the place for go to one of the Disney theme parks.
That's Disney World you're thinking about. Yeah, okay. That's in Florida. But Disneyland was super fun, and, you know, we went with a few people. Ashley Burnett from Disney was with us, and Joe Cariotti from High Road, and Stephanie from Disney was with us, and it was just so much fun. We had a great time out there. And I gotta tell you, Brian, actually, the ride that you probably would have enjoyed the most is the Cars ride, and I'll tell you why. Because you go on it, and it's from Cars the movie, and you get into a car, and they drive you through, and they say, okay, the whole premise is we're about to go on a race. And they drive you through, and they drive you through this inside kind of garage area where Lightning McQueen and Porsche and all these cars from Cars are there, and they're prepping your car for the race. And at the end, you go on a race and you like zoom down this track and you race against another car. And it's actually like super fun. You go really fast up these turns on an embankment where you're actually turned like 65, 70, 75 degrees and you're flying around.
But it's on a track, right?
It is on a track.
You are basically, it might as well be a roller coaster for all you know.
Essentially, yeah. It is like that. But it's designed like a race car track, though.
Yeah, but I could go to an actual race car track also.
Well, you could do that, obviously. But I'm saying, like, if you went to Disneyland, you could have super fun there. I mean, yeah, you could.
I could go to Flight Deck at Canada's Wonderland and then afterwards say I flew a plane. Why not?
I didn't say, at no point did I say I drove a race car. At no point did I actually say that. I just said it's a good, fun ride that you would enjoy.
Yeah, but that's the... You are equating it.
No, I'm not equating it to anything. I'm just saying I know what you have a passion for, and I think you would have gotten a kick out of this ride. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, we were at E3 for a week. It was super fun. We got, last segment, we played our interview with Sean Ramjag Singh to talk about NHL 15 because we know our audience loves the NHL game. So we played that. He went in depth detail with us. There's so much more E3 stuff we have that we'll play in the coming weeks and months, and there's so much stuff that we did already. If you go to sportsnet590.ca, check out the Got Game blog. You will find podcasts from the 4 days that we were down there covering E3, day 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. If you go to iTunes or the TuneIn app, if you have an Android or an iPhone, you'll find it all up there. Check our Twitter account at GotGame590. We tweeted out a bunch of stuff. Go to our Instagram at GotGame590. You'll find some interesting stuff up there, including Brian, a snippet of a video of you trying out the Oculus Rift, where you're flying a plane and I'm taping.
I noticed that, as embarrassing as that video is for me, that the video I took of you. And I know I took this video of you.
I have it. I have it on my phone.
Yes, that's not on the account.
No, and you know, I'm all about equal fair play. What we'll do is we'll take both videos and we'll post them on the Got Game blog at sportsnet590.ca. I am not above embarrassing myself. And to be fair, Instagram only lets you put 15 seconds up. So I would like people to have the full scope because I think we took about a minute, 2 minutes of each other. And it's pretty funny because when you have the Rift on and you're looking through, you are totally immersed in that world.
Yes.
And in the video that I posted, you're like, oh, look, there's like a town over there. But you're pointing at like a wall of a cubicle.
Yeah, I know.
But that's the way it is, though. And it's a beautiful piece of machinery. And we'll talk more about it, obviously, in the months coming up to whenever they release it, sometime late next year, early 2016. Who knows? But there's so much E3 stuff up there. Please go and give a listen. Look at the photos. We put a lot of hard work into it. There was so much good stuff this year. And we really enjoyed it. And we think you'll enjoy what we have. We have something like 30 interviews that we'll play over the next few weeks and months as games come up, including ones with cool people like Ed Boon talking about Mortal Kombat. I talked to the creative director of Sunset Overdrive, which looks totally rad. We talked to so many.
We have to play that Pez interview before the World Cup is over,
right?
But apparently you have an embargo. You can't do it this week due to that embargo.
Yeah, I believe if memory serves, we'll be able to play it by next week's show. So it's Pro Evolution Soccer, where I talked to somebody from the game. So hopefully we'll be able to play that soon. We have a Madden interview. We have a whole bunch of stuff where we have set to come, so stick with us for the next few months and beyond, because we'll have a whole bunch of stuff.
And by the looks of this, we actually got at least hands-on time, if not interviews, with pretty much every Canadian-made video game that was there.
Yeah, do tell.
There's 13 of them, and I will take off the list the hard ones. Like, you are never going to get that a game called Go Go Ghost by DNA Vancouver was on the floor. Hitman Sniper.
I knew that was there. Either of those.
That's Square Enix Montreal. It was in the Square Enix booth. I knew what that was, but I'm sure I'm probably the exception, not the rule.
Yeah. Can I try to guess what some of those are?
Okay.
All right. Canadian made games. Assassin's Creed Unity.
Yes.
Far Cry 4.
Yes.
Now I'm stuck.
Most of these are sports games. Come on.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. NHL, obviously.
Yes.
I would say part of FIFA.
Well, the entirety of FIFA is made at EA Canada, so
okay,
that's
so
also on the list.
FIFA.
There's one more EA game.
UFC.
That's the one.
Okay, yeah, that was probably made here. Let me try to think. What else is made here?
Probably one of the most talked about games at E3 this year.
Really?
It was also in the EA booth.
Battlefield?
No, that's not made.
Oh, you're talking about Dragon Age?
Dragon Age Inquisition is made by BioWare Edmonton.
I knew there was an Edmonton studio in there somewhere. So that's what, 6 or 7 big ones we named off right there.
Yep. Shape Up, that new fitness game from Ubisoft.
That game looks like a really fun game, by the way. Like, there's so many fitness games out there. This one is like a really neat and interesting twist to the games.
as well as the new Tom Clancy Rainbow Six Siege game.
That was one of the most talked about games at E3.
Yes, and one of my favorite games of E3. That's a Canadian developer, as well as the new Skylanders Trap Team game.
Yeah.
And this one is going to be hard to pronounce. Super Ultra Dead Rising 3 Arcade Remix Hyper Edition EX Plus Alpha is made by Capcom Vancouver.
Everything that we saw at E3, out of everything that we saw, nothing got more of a laugh and a cheer than when they showed that off at the Microsoft press conference, because it just got progressively more insane as they were going through their demo and their trailer, and the crowd was just going absolutely nuts for it because it just got more and more ridiculous, and everybody's like, yes, more of this ridiculousness. I want it.
It's not as insane as universities in both the United States and Canada giving out scholarships for playing League of Legends. But we'll get to that in a second after I mention that the last game, Rival Knights from Gameloft, which Gameloft, they make mobile games. They're strictly a mobile game developer, and they have never touched a console, as far as I understand. Their closest to getting to a console has been stuff like the Ouya, which is basically a console that's a cell phone. You know, it's a cell phone you can hook up to your television. So we didn't see them there at all, because we get invites all the time from, like, EA. Hey, come check out our pavilion of mobile games. And I'm sitting there going, we don't have time to cover all the big games as it is. I don't have the time.
E3 is very packed.
I don't have the time to come take a look at your mobile games. So, unfortunately, we never saw them. But we wish them best of luck.
Absolutely. Yeah, of course.
Anyhow, have you ever heard of Robert Morris University in Illinois?
I can't say that I have, but a gamer should pay attention, and especially if you're into playing fantasy sports-style games. Robert Morris University is now going to give out scholarships for people who play League of Legends. Now, it doesn't look like it's going to be full scholarships, but it's at least going to be a partial scholarship, which is more than I could say any other place is offering.
According to what I was able to figure out, they will be paying at least half of your tuition and half of your room and board, which
is pretty awesome.
Those are amazingly expensive things. Even getting half off, a 50% sale on your tuition and your room and board,
I'm pretty sure any student or any mom and dad,
tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, any student or any mom and dad would gladly pay half. If the school was willing to pay half. So League of Legends is basically like a fantasy sports style game.
They are called MOBAs, Massive Online Battle Arena games are the genre which they're in. We played one for the first time. Crytek, the guys who've made Crysis, they've made the Far Cry, at least the original Far Cry game was there doing as well. They've made a whole bunch of games over the years. And neither of us had played a MOBA up in that point. It was a very eye-opening experience. Those games did not play anywhere like I thought they would.
Anyway, so the Robert Morris University says if you can play League of Legends and you're good, they will give you a scholarship, which will pay 50% room and board. And not only that, but you'll be part of a league, and other schools will take part in this league. And just if you think that it's fringe schools taking part in this league, think again. Here are the schools, some of the schools that are taking part in this league. Arizona State, George Washington, and some school called Harvard are playing in this league. So that lets you know that that's three pretty big schools, and obviously Harvard is like the most notable school probably in the world.
But I would imagine if you're going to Harvard, it's kind of like being part of the chess club at Harvard. You're not considered an NCAA athlete at Harvard.
Man, if you're in the chess club at Harvard, you're probably some super brainiac guy. Like that that's not like being in the chess club at UCLA. That's like the chess club at Harvard.
I know, but I doubt the chess club at Harvard is under the NCAA banner. But these kids are now scholarship athletes.
Yeah.
So now there is an official video game NCAA team out there that I'm guessing they're not going to play very much of, like, say, the...
Wouldn't that be great, though, if you could just be, like,
NCAA,
at a party?
Basketball games or whatever.
It'd be great if you could be at a party, you have a letter jacket on.
I was going to say...
From Robert Morris University. You see a girl, or a girl sees a guy, because obviously this team... I don't know this for sure, but I assume this team is a unisex team, because a girl could play as good as a guy can. You just see somebody you fancy and be like, yeah, I'm an NCAA athlete on scholarship. What do you play? Never mind what I play. I just am.
To be honest, this entire time you've been talking about going to Disney, and we've been trying to name off these Canadian-made video games that were at E3.
Yeah.
This entire time I've been sitting here in the back of my head writing a script for a movie that's pretty much Rudy, but instead of playing football, it follows the exploits of this young kid who's trying to make it onto the
League
Robert Morrison University League of Legends team.
But I would totally,
but he's not.
I would watch that movie, just so you know.
His dexterity is not quite there. He's good. He has heart.
This sounds
but
like.
He doesn't really have the finger movements that need to be that quick in order to get in the game.
You are
so he plays on the practice squad for the entire time for 3 years.
Practice squad. What you're describing is basically The Wizard meets Rudy. Like, if you smash those two into one movie, this is the script that you would get that would come out.
At the very end, the Robert Morrison University team makes it to whatever it is. Apparently, all these teams will be playing in what's known as the Collegiate Star League.
Sure.
So whatever that is, apparently they'll have like this grand finale.
Yeah.
And it's only then does this young Rudy-like star rise up and get to play, say, for the last half of a game.
Does the whole crowd,
as his parents watch in the crowd.
Does the whole crowd chant his name and make people cry?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Rudy is the one movie that makes me tear up every time when they start chanting his name.
I just need a really good name for a League of Legends player, and then there you go, script written.
Can I suggest Rudy?
I don't know if I could get through with... Well, how about Rooney?
Sure. I like Rooney. Like the principal in Ferris Bueller? Sure, why not?
Sure.
All right, so while Calhoun goes and writes the script during the break, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go deep inside what Sony had to offer at E3 and speak to Matt Levitan from Sony PlayStation Canada. That's all coming up on Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
We've got game. Do you? Gameplay.
You're back listening to Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Momin Qureshi and Brian Calhoun with you. Christine Chubb not with us this week because she spent a few extra days in California unwinding after the E3 goodness that we had. If you missed any of our E3 coverage, go to sportsnet590.ca, click on the Got Game blog. We're going to put so much stuff up there. There's already some stuff up there. You can follow our Twitter and Instagram accounts, both at GotGame590. You can find all our blogs and our podcasts up in the iTunes and the TuneIn app. There's so much stuff up there. Earlier in the show, we played Sean Ramjag Singh from EA, the lead producer of the NHL games. You can hear that on the podcast.
Probably also motion caption artist for their new NBA Live series of video
probably.
Games.
Probably. He is a tall gentleman.
He's tall enough easily to make NBA height.
For sure. He's pretty close to 7 feet. He's a very tall fellow. Unfortunately, we got so much tape and so much good stuff from E3 that we won't have time to play it all on our show in the weeks and months to come. So some of it we have to push over to the blog. That includes Jeff Rive from Xbox Canada talking about the hardware. I had a good chat with him. We sat down in the Xbox lounge, had a one-on-one talk. If you go to sportsnet590.ca, you can find that. There's some good stuff. Go check it out. We'll tweet it out from our account as well.
I'll also put it on the Got Game Show blog, so if you want an easy place to find it, just go to this week's Got Game Show blog. That interview will be there.
For sure. Also, we had a chance to talk to Matt Levitan from Sony PlayStation Canada to talk about all the good stuff that Sony showed off, including Morpheus, Uncharted, Little Big Planet, and all that stuff. So here's our conversation with Matt Levitan of Sony PlayStation Canada.
We are back for another E3, and while there are many things that Sony is showing off here, I am sure Project Morpheus is the one that has the most eyes turned towards it.
That seems to be getting the most attention, yeah. Obviously, you know, people at shows like this, they gravitate to something new, something different. You kind of feel like, how many first-person shooters can I see? And I think the cool thing with Morpheus is it is new technology. It is, I think, you know, going to be probably the future of gaming, or it certainly will play a big part of the future of gaming. And I think when you actually get a chance to put the headset on and try it at a show like this, you're like, okay, you become convinced, you become converted that, you know, this is something that I really want to bring home to my house.
What kind of capabilities are you guys showing off with Morpheus here?
We showed about probably four or five different tech demos. We actually announced the first official game today, actually called The Assembly. But we do have a variety of different worldwide studios that are working on content. A lot of third-party teams have the software development kit as well, so they're making games. You know, we really don't think this product's going to come out in 2014. We haven't set a price yet or a release date of any kind, so it's a little further away. But we at least wanted people to get their hands on it today and experience it and get excited for, you know, what's to come.
Well, you kind of took the question out of my mouth there with the announcement of The Assembly. What kind of time frame are we looking at? I know it's tough to say. Are we looking at holiday 2015?
I honestly don't have an answer for you right now. I think we have to look at our product roadmap, try to figure out when some of our big titles are coming out, and then probably make the assessment sometime later in the year how far off it is. It's also not even in production, mass production yet. So, you know, how many do we need globally? You know, how much do we need for North America or Canada specifically? So all those things have to be ironed out. So, yeah, not sure yet.
Is Morpheus something that you guys want to be a standalone type of thing, or is it going to be integrated with the PS4?
It'll always be integrated with the PS4. I shouldn't say always. I'm far from an engineer, but as far as I know, yeah, PS4 related. And also move controller functionality too. So a lot of times you'll see a game that features move controller. So the camera is involved. The PlayStation Eye camera is physically, you know, capturing motion as well. So you have a variety of things that are happening at once. You have this incredible virtual reality headset plus move plus the camera. So it really is a very immersive experience when you bring all of these things together.
And now at the conference, you guys announced a lot of exciting games. One of them being the shock, I think, most people was Little Big Planet 3, where I loved the announcement where it was literally just, boom, there it is. No fancy build-up. Yep. Here it is. Talk to me about why Little Big Planet is such a big game for this system.
You know what, and I 100% agree with you. I love the way they introduced it. Like, all the dev team was on stage already. The logo came up, and it was just, like, very matter-of-fact, and the response was great. People were cheering, and I think that it's great to see the love for the franchise. It's been a few years since it's been on console, and you know, I think it was time to bring it back. PS4 is a great device to be able to bring user-generated content type of games to, because you have the touchpad to be able to create levels, you have the graphical fidelity, you have the shareable, you know, community that you have as well. So all those things really lined up well for Little Big. And the fact that we're introducing some new characters into the franchise, I think, also kind of breathes some new life into it. So, yeah, I'm excited about LBP. Plus, like I said, there's a lot of shooters. There's a lot of M-rated games, and I think it's fun to have an E-rated four-player co-op type of game like that that the whole family can get behind. My house, those games go over big, so I'm sure I can't be the only one. Yeah.
No, it does. Little Big Planet 3 looks quite awesome, and I'm very excited. You guys have a lot of stuff showing off, but one of the things I want to talk to you about is Sony launched this project where you're trying to get kids who are straight out of school, who studied video game design or whatever, straight into making games, and the first one is on display here, and that's kind of a neat initiative.
Yeah, I mean, I think that We've really been, you know, as everyone knows, we've been very proactive in trying to curate great indie content, and you know, and I think that's why we've had great relationships with our internal studios and, you know, companies like That Game Company. There's been great synergy, I should say, in terms of working together. And the next, I guess, evolution of that is, you know, really plucking some great minds right out of programs, out of schools, and having them come work directly for us, or develop some small little groups that are also kind of indie, but internal indie, I guess, is what you could say. So the name indie is kind of going away, I think, as more corporations become involved. And I mean, Sony and Microsoft are going to destroy the term indie, because we're big corporations that will come in and love it. But it's true. I mean, it's where you're seeing a lot of really creative titles, like things like No Man's Sky or things like, you know, Inside, which I'm very much looking forward to. Like, these are some of my most anticipated games, and these are indie teams. So it's exciting.
Another thing they announced was PlayStation Television. Now, where does that fit in with the gaming systems that you guys have?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the number one thing is it's the lowest barrier of entry in terms of price out of anything that's on the market. I mean, $99, and I actually can confirm we're going to keep that price on par for Canada. So it will be $99 for the standalone SKU in Canada. And if you don't have a DualShock 3 or you don't have a memory card that you want to save games to, you can buy the bundle for $140 Canadian. And I think that, you know, when you look at all the options that you have for as a device, you can download anything, you know, from PS1, PS2 games from the store, play Vita games, play PS Now when it launches in Canada as well. There's Music Unlimited, Video Unlimited. For $99, I mean, that's an incredible, you know, product to have, and it's so small, and any room in your house really that has a TV. So, and the remote play, certainly streaming your PS4 to another TV, if that first TV is, you know, being monopolized by someone else in the house, you can just stream it over via remote play. So a lot of functions there that I think make it really attractive for $99. Yeah.
One of the things that we experience as Canadians sometimes is that something is announced, whether it's an app or something they're bringing to, you know, a system, and then, oh, but Canada, you're not getting, either you're not getting it at all or you're getting it later. But that doesn't seem to be the case here.
I hate that as much as all of your other listeners. It's annoying. And I mean, there have been times when it's been the case. The 3G Vita, you know, took a while to come to Canada. And that was based on working with Rogers and, you know, having, you know, other deals in place. And I think when we announced originally that a PS Now beta was happening in the US and didn't mention Canada, Canadians were up in arms. They were on our blog. They were complaining, and I could absolutely hear them and sympathize with them. But I also knew behind the scenes we were going to do our own internal beta and make sure that it worked first before we could open it up to consumers. So, you know, we did that. We did probably a 30-person beta internally, opened it to about 100 people. And on Tuesday, it's actually opened up to 30,000 Canadians now that have been invited through actually through an email CRM through our database. And really, The purpose of that is to make sure that it works. I mean, it's really, it's that simple. And what we've heard back is whether you live in Edmonton, Halifax, wherever, it's working. We're pinging the data servers in the US and there's zero latency. So good news all around. But, you know, I think as Canadians, you immediately feel like we're getting left out. And sometimes it's true, but in our cases, it's not. We're certainly committed to PS Now. We're committed to bringing things like PlayStation TV day and date with the US numbers. US dates, I should say.
And now it's been 8 months since the launch of the new console, and there's been lots of changes on maybe Microsoft's side and not as much on yours. How do you think this is doing? How do you think the new system has been?
We're pretty happy. It's hard not to get too excited. I mean, it's nice to have great momentum like this. This is our fourth console, so we are aware that these are very long life cycles. These are long races. You can't take anything for granted, and you have to stay hungry the whole way through it. And I think that was really the purpose of showing so many games at our conference. Is we want to make the commitment to, yes, we have a great head start, but you know we have no plans of relinquishing that lead. So I think that was really the statement we wanted to make. Feels like it came through. You take a look at the numbers. We sold more PS4s in Canada on the first day than we sold for PS3s in the entire first year. So, I mean, we are off to a great start. And I think for us internally, just to kind of stay humble, stay hungry, keep working on good projects, good product to also bring to market, and always remember to do what's best for gamers. I think if we can do that, we'll be in the right path.
I think the big difference between this year's E3 and last year's is that last year was about console launch. This year is now people have consoles, or at least are within reach of getting one, and they want to know what's next. So we've kind of got a bit of a taste of that now. But if you were to look forward for us in the next couple of years, now that people have the PS4 in their homes, what can they look forward to?
You know, I think what's exciting right now is even for like the first generation software, like we were seeing, you know, games that looked pretty great, like an Infamous Second Son, or you know, like some of our third party product, Call of Duty, whatever. Things were looking great within the first couple months of launching the PS4. I think what's exciting, and what I would be as a gamer sitting at home thinking, is what's a game going to look like 4 years into the life cycle of the PS4, or 8 years into the life, like when developers really can maximize the power, it's going to be mind-blowing. I mean, we were kind of already showed a little bit of it with the Uncharted 4 trailer. Is you see what Nathan Drake looks like in PS4 glory, and you're like, oh, I want to play that right now. How do I get that today? So that's the most important thing. I mean, sure, we have Morpheus, and we have, you know, a network services group and things like PlayStation TV, and those are all important parts of the ecosystem. But I think what, for me personally, what would be the most exciting is how the software continues to get better year over year, and we still see some great franchises coming back and blowing our minds with what they look like now.
Yeah, that was my thing, is that I knew we were going to get a little taste of Uncharted 4, but it was frankly, that wasn't enough. That was like a nibble. That wasn't even a taste. That was like just like crumbs that I just picked up off the ground.
And not that it's going to make you feel any better, but I've seen gameplay and a little bit more than that, and it's amazing, but it's, I just said that to be mean. That's not even nice.
This is officially the last time you're ever going to be on our show.
I should be vetoed off the show for saying that, but that's what the game looks like in-game. I mean, it's Naughty Dog. I got a real soft spot in my heart. The Last of Us is my favorite game of all time.
Yeah.
And I love what they do. They do storylines and characters and narrative better than anyone. At the same time, and having really fun games to play. I mean, we were talking earlier about how frustrating it can be to die in certain games. And I think of my time spent with Uncharted and Last of Us. I was quick to press restart. Like I never really felt overly frustrated or cheated that the game did something that I didn't want it to do. I was like, I'm gonna jump back in, you know. So that's one thing about Naughty Dog, is they're at the top of their game. I find they're untouchable.
Oh, I agree. I think I loved Last of Us and all three Uncharted's, and even in the puzzles that were leaving me frustrated, I was always quick to jump back in. I was gonna ask you, I was left with just crumbs in my mouth from Uncharted 4. Can you give me anything to make me leave E3 even a little bit satisfied from the Uncharted 4 craving that I have.
I will say that, okay, so obviously you know the name of the game is Thief's End. I certainly can't tell you if that means the end of Nathan Drake. But I will say that I don't think I'll get in trouble for this. I think there is one or two very interesting new characters being introduced in the franchise. So I'll say that. And one in particular that is directly related to Nathan. So I think that's probably one of the cooler things, is there's some great new character introductions.
All right, you're back on our show. It's good. We're all good. We're fine. We've settled things
Sorry,
down.
Sorry, Naughty Dog. I hope that's okay that I said that.
One of the games that I'm really looking forward to the most is The Order, and unfortunately it was delayed. More and more that seems to be happening with games getting pushed to 2015.
Yeah, there's a lot.
You know, why do you think that is, and do you think, you know, customers are going to get a little frustrated by that?
Yeah, I think the stakes have never been higher in terms of developing your game right now. I think you're going to put in $50, $60, $75 million into the development of a game. I mean, it has to be good, because if it bombs, your studio is bankrupt and you're laying everybody off. So, and I think that as the console manufacturers, we're also looking at it as, you know, there's a ton of great games out there. We would love for your game to come out early, but if it's not going to be good, then wait 6 months and let's make it as good as possible, because the experience is going to be better for the consumer, and the odds are you'll probably sell more. So I think that The Order is a prime example of looks fantastic, and just giving it the extra 6 months is going to make a huge difference, I think, in terms of the playability. What they're going after at Ready at Dawn is a very cinematic feel, like the way they've been using just different film styles and cinematography styles to really get you into Sir Galahad's perspective is very different, I think, than what a lot of people do in gaming. So it takes a while to kind of craft that vision, and giving them the extra time means you'll have a better game. So it's frustrating, I know. We saw it with Watch Dogs, and we see it, you know, every once in a while. Batman, I was excited to play, and now I got to wait to drive the Batmobile, and that's upsetting me. But at the end of the day, if I get it a 10 out of 10 Batman game, it's worth it versus a 6 out of 10 that came out then. Not that it would have been, but, you know, who knows?
Have you been over to the hall to stare at the Batmobile?
I haven't.
Do yourself a favor.
Tomorrow. Yeah.
Find a few minutes and just go and maybe not the way I did, because I think I had drool coming out of my mouth and I was kind of caressing the Batmobile, but maybe just go look at it.
It's funny. I mean, there's so many great franchises coming back. I had one friend text me and they're like, oh my God, another Tomb Raider. I'm so excited. The last one was so good. And then one of my other friends was like, oh, I get to drive the Batmobile. That's going to be the greatest video game of all time. So everyone has their favorites, and I think that's kind of the show this year is, you know, if you love shooters, you got Evolve and you got Destiny and you have all these great ones. And no matter what your flavor, whatever it is, there's great content for you. And even things like Little Big Planet 3, which is an E-rated platformer, like, great. Like, let's get stuff like that to market as well. So that's how I feel PS1, PS2 days we really succeeded, was the variety of content, the different genres. It wasn't just, you know, we're going to bring out as many shooters or as many RPGs as we can. Let's innovate. Let's do something different.
That's Matt Levitan of Sony PlayStation Canada talking about all the stuff that Sony had to show off at this year's E3. For Christine Chubb, who's not here, I'm Omen Qureshi. That's Brian Calhoun. That's all the time we have for this week on Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network.